Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching focusing on living in perilous times was recorded at our 2008 Southern California Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
This man now boldly stood and he says, "You judge yourself which is proper. Should we obey God or man?" We can't help but say the things. And they beat him again and he refused to back down. And finally, they said they took knowledge of him that he had been with Jesus. He was a weakling before. He was rebuked by Jesus and said, "Get behind me, Satan." He was a mouthpiece for the devil. He was always sticking his foot in his mouth. The only time Peter opened his mouth was to change feet. He was always making a mistake. He was always failing. And yet, all of a sudden, the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes. And now this guy is bold, became the leader of the church. And most people believe that Peter lived another 34 years after the resurrection of Jesus, and during those 34 years, he remained faithful. He was such a strong man. He was crucified upside down because he said he wasn't worthy to be crucified in the same position as Jesus was crucified in. And he went to his death joyfully and suffered a martyr's death. People were just totally transformed. And I'm telling you that this is what's missing in so many people's lives today, is the power of the Holy Spirit. And let me make another application. There are people who have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and haven't been full of the Holy Ghost a day since. It's something that you receive, and the Holy Spirit comes and lives on the inside of you. But you have to use this. You have to draw it out. You have to learn a dependency upon the Holy Spirit. You have to commune with God through the power of the Holy Spirit. You have to draw on the ability of the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, most of us, just by default, depend upon ourselves. Here's some ways that you can tell. If you are stressed out, you can sit there and say, "Well, we live in perilous times. We have stress that nobody else has known about. You've never driven in Los Angeles traffic." You can sit here and give me a million different explanations. But you know what? If you are stressed out, you have not thrown all of your care over on Jesus. The Holy Spirit isn't ministering unto you. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 28, it was prophesying about the baptism of the Holy Spirit because it was quoted by Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And he said, this is the fulfillment of that prophecy. And over there in Isaiah 28, it says that with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak unto them. And he says, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, specifically the gift of speaking in tongues, refreshes you and causes the weary to rest. So if you aren't refreshed, and if you are weary, and yet you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's not because God hasn't given you the equipment and the things necessary to succeed. It's because you aren't using it. If you've got the Holy Spirit, and if you're stressed out, if things are bothering you, all you got to do is pray in tongues. It's like flipping a switch. And it just starts the flow of the Holy Spirit and supernatural peace, and it edifies you. The Bible says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I believe verse 2 or 4, it says that when you speak in an unknown tongue, you edify yourself. The word edify means to promote spiritual growth or to build up. It says in Jude chapter 1, verse 20, "But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost," which is talking about speaking in tongues. When you speak in tongues, you build yourself up on your most holy faith. You get into the highest level of faith speaking in tongues. And then the next verse, verse 21, says, "Keep yourself in the love of God." Praying in tongues will refresh you. It will cause weariness to flee. It will edify you, promote spiritual growth, build you up spiritually. It will put you on your most holy faith. It will keep you in the love of God. If you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you must have the baptism of the Holy Spirit to be able to fully function and receive what Jesus has planned for you. And if you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then you've got to operate in it. You've got to flow in it. And it is amazing to me how many quote-unquote Spirit-filled Christians go days, weeks, months, years without speaking in tongues. And when they're stressed out and when they're confused and don't have direction, why hasn't God led me? I've prayed, I've asked for this. You've got the comforter, you've got the guide, and you aren't using the gifts that He gives you, and then you're complaining and wondering why things don't work. That's just ignorance gone to seed. Quiet, Miss Presbyterian Church. You know, I go to a lot of churches. And I go to churches that are thousands of people, and they are Spirit-filled churches. And I mean, they believe in miracles, and they preach glory to God, and they have the terminology down, and they are Pentecostals. And I go into their churches and preach, and it's not unusual to have 100 people come forward for the baptism of the Holy Spirit that have been sitting in that church for 10 years and have never heard a message on the power of the Holy Spirit and the gift of speaking in tongues and flowing with the Holy Spirit. We've got a lot of people that started in the charismatic move, or whatever you want to term that, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit was a big thing. They came out of the mainline denominational churches, and they have the trappings. They believe in miracles. They have a lot of the effects. They have the form of godliness, but they deny the power of it. There are people attending Spirit-filled churches that don't have the Spirit. There has not been the emphasis on the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. Did you know Jesus, who was sinless, who is God, never did a miracle, never preached, never ministered. Now, when He was 12 years old, He was in the temple asking questions and astounding the elders and the preachers with His wisdom. But He didn't begin His ministry until He came and got water baptized, and then the Holy Spirit descended upon Him and anointed Him. Jesus, who was sinless and perfect, if anybody could have ministered under their own ability, didn't do a single thing until the Holy Spirit came on it. And I've had some people criticize that and say, well, then how could He really be God if He had to be dependent upon the Holy Spirit and stuff like that? It's because the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. They never, never, never operate independent of each other. It wasn't a criticism of Jesus that He was less. It was a statement for the unity of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that they never move independent of each other. At creation, God created the heavens and the earth, and the Spirit moved upon the face of the water. And the word that is used in the Hebrew is brooded, just like a chicken broods over their chickens and stuff. The Spirit was moving upon the water, and when God said, "Let there be light," the Spirit is the one that brought all of these things to pass. And Colossians chapter 1 tells us that He created all things. Jesus is the one that created all things. So the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit were there. Genesis chapter 1 verse 23-26 says, "Let us make man in our image." That wasn't God the Father and the angels talking. That was Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost saying, "Let us make man in our image." They do not function independent of each other. And that's the reason Jesus said, "Don't go anywhere. Don't tell anybody." Here they were with the resurrected Jesus, the greatest message. They had seen Jesus raised from the dead. He says, "Don't go tell anybody. Don't go anywhere. Tarry until you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit." Today, we're just the opposite. We encourage people, receive the Lord. And as soon as they get born again, we kick them out the door. Go witness. Go tell somebody. Go do something in your own strength, in your own power. You don't need the power of the Holy Spirit. You go out and tell people. And that's the reason we have them turning people off, offending people, making enemies. That's the reason that there are so many people that would have been a Christian if they hadn't met one. That's what Mahatma Gandhi said. Mahatma Gandhi was exiled from India. And while he was in exile in Africa, he started studying the Bible, trying to find out what was the true Savior. And he was committed after reading the New Testament. He believed Jesus was the true God. He went to a Presbyterian church in Africa to make a profession of faith and become a Christian. And because he was black, they wouldn't let him in. They kicked him out. And he said, I would have been a Christian if I hadn't have met one. And so he went back to India, led 750 million people to independence, became a dominant figure, and he could have influenced them for Christianity. He was that close, but somebody who went out and was probably born again but didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit in them rejected a person because of the color of their skin. And he led 750 million people without faith in the Lord because somebody was out there ministering in their own power and not doing it God's way. We got a lot of people today that are ministering in their own power, and it's not the Holy Spirit speaking through them. And they may even have a good desire. They might even mean good. They might want to help people. But Jesus told his disciples, don't go anywhere. Don't tell anybody I'm risen from the dead. Don't do anything until the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you're going to receive power. Look at this passage over in John chapter 2. This is at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. The very first time he ever came to Jerusalem after he had been baptized by John in the River Jordan and had begun his public ministry. He came to Jerusalem, and in John chapter 2, in verse 23, it says, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. This doesn't give us what those miracles were. Matter of fact, John said at the end of his book, he says, I've only written a few of the things. If all of the things that Jesus did had been written down, every one, the world itself could not contain the books that should be written.
That's all the time we have for today. But be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on how to live through perilous times. This teaching series was recorded at our 2008 Southern California Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a five-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM232 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The third CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the third teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
You know, the things that I'm sharing are just like the tip of the iceberg. There's so much to this, and that's the reason we have our website. That's the reason we have all this product that we're advertising. But you know, really, the very best way I have for you to get established in this is our Charis Bible College. And I know that some people think, well, I can't move and come there. Well, you know, probably more of you could do it than what you think. But even if you can't come here, we have different Bible colleges spread throughout the United States and other countries. We have distance learning, video correspondence course. We're in the process of establishing it over the internet. There's a lot of ways you can take advantage of it. So please call and inquire about our Charis Bible Colleges.